Psalm 35 verses 11 to 28. Psalm 35 verses 11 to 28. Malicious witnesses rise up. They ask me of things that I do not know. They repay me evil for good. My soul is bereft. But I, when they were sick, I wore sackcloth. I afflicted myself with fasting. I prayed with head bowed on my chest. I went about as though I grieved for my friend or my brother, as one who laments his mother. I bowed down in mourning. But at my stumbling they rejoiced and gathered. They gathered together against me. Wretches whom I did not know tore at me without ceasing. Like profane mockers at a feast, they gnash at me with their teeth. How long, O Lord, will you look on? Rescue me from their destruction, my precious life from the lions. I will thank you in the great congregation. In the mighty throng, I will praise you. Let not those rejoice over me who are wrongfully my foes, and let not those wink with the eye who hate me without cause. For they do not speak peace, but against those who are quiet in the land they devise words of deceit. They open wide their mouths against me. They say, "Aha, aha, our eyes have seen it." You have seen, O Lord, be not silent. O Lord, be not far from me. Awake and rouse yourself for my vindication, for my cause, my God and my Lord. Vindicate me, O Lord my God, according to your righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, "Aha, our heart's desire." Let them not say, "We have swallowed him up." Let them be put to shame and disappointed altogether who rejoice at my calamity. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor who magnify themselves against me. Let those who delight in my righteousness shout for joy and be glad and say evermore, "Great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of his servant." Then my tongue shall tell of your righteousness and of your praise all the day long. As we said last time, that once again in this psalm, in Psalm 35, we find that David is being hounded by Saul and his army, and he's also being slandered by Saul's men. David was pressing on doing God's will. He was God's chosen king. But Saul was trying to destroy David. We looked up to verse 10 in our last study. And now we will move on to the rest of the psalm. In Psalm 35, we find David making three requests to God. We mentioned this last time. And each of those prayer requests actually end with a song of praise to the Lord. First he says, "Protect me," in verses 1 to 10. And verse 9 and 10 actually end in praise. Then he says, "Reward me," verses 11 to 18. That also ends in praise in verses 17 to 18. The third cry is, "Vindicate me," verses 19 to 28. And that ends in verses 27, 28 in praise. So this shows that David's greatest desire was to praise the Lord, to magnify the Lord. That was his greatest desire. David's joy was God's salvation. And for this, only God could receive the glory for this. So his desire was to magnify the Lord. Psalm 35 verses 9 to 10. "Then my soul will rejoice in the Lord, exulting in his salvation. All my bones shall say, 'O Lord, who is like you?' Delivering the poor from him who is too strong for him, the poor and needy from him who robs him." This reminds us of Israel's triumphant song after the Exodus. In Exodus chapter 15 verse 11, "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders?" Now David knew that God had chosen him to be king of Israel, and his greatest task would be to unite Israel. His task would be to unite and strengthen the kingdom and lead the people of Israel back to God. That was going to be his task as king. Israel had an important work to do in the world, and David's leadership was very, very essential. The church today also has an important role in this world. We are called to be the light and the salt of the earth. So we need to wake up to that call that God has for us and do what God wants us to do. There is a world out there that is lost, that needs to hear the gospel, and they need to be saved. Now, when the enemy is fighting against you, he's really fighting against the Lord. Let's never forget this. That's a good principle to remember. When the enemy is fighting against you, remember the real enemy is not the person whom you're seeing right in front of you, but the demonic forces, the demonic spirits that are behind that person, using that person as a puppet. So when the enemy is fighting against you, he's really fighting against the Lord. Don't forget that. When the child of God is in the will of God, he can surely claim help and protection from the Father. Now, our enemies are too strong for us. But remember that they are never ever too strong for the Lord. And we stand on victory ground today as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been raised to victory. When dealing with our enemies, the best response, therefore, is to pray. Pray. And my heart's desire is that we as a people of God, the church, that we would be people of prayer. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Give your burden over to the Lord and he will work for you. He'll work on your behalf. He'll fight the enemy for you. David states the evidence that proves that he was innocent. He makes that very clear. But the enemy depended on lies. They were dependent on false, malicious, and fierce witnesses who accused David of being a traitor. Psalm 35 verse 11. Malicious witnesses, rise up. They ask me of things that I do not know. Psalm 27 verse 12. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. The enemy is very vicious. Now, how does a person respond to the enemy? This is very, very important. How do we respond to the enemy? A person can choose to live on one of the three levels of life. The first level is the human level of life. The second level is the demonic level of life. And the third level, this is the level that every believer should live on, that's the divine level of life. We'll go through each of this. Number one, a person living on the human level of life, what does he do? He returns good for good and evil for evil. Now, this is the way that most people live. But when we live on this level, we really don't grow. In fact, we become just like other people. The human level turns life into a war, into a selfish competition. So that's not the Christian way to live. Believers should not live like this. As believers in Christ, we must remember this. What someone does to you today will ultimately turn out to be the best thing that ever happened to you. Someone does evil to you, but that will ultimately turn out to be the best thing that ever happened to you when you look at it years later in retrospective. On the surface, it might look like evil, but God can turn that into good. Genesis chapter 50 verses 14 to 21. This is one of my favorite passages. Genesis chapter 50 verses 14 to 21. After he had buried his father, Joseph returned to Egypt with his brothers and all who had gone up with him to bury his father. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones. Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So you see, they intended evil towards Joseph. But God turned that all around for the good of Joseph and also for his brothers. In Psalm 35, we read of people who return evil for good. That's the second level. This is the demonic level of life. People who return evil for good. There are many people that live on this level. Psalm 35 verse 12. They repay me evil for good. My soul is bereft. That's the level that the devil lives on. He always returns evil for good. And he uses people to do that. That's how Saul and his officers lived. In our study last time, we saw how on two occasions, David could have killed Saul. But instead of killing him, David returned good for evil. Because David lived on the third level, the divine level. Remember, David tells Saul, 1 Samuel 24 verse 10, "Behold this day, your eyes have seen how the Lord gave you today into my hand in the cave. And some told me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, I will not put out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed." Then again in 1 Samuel 26 verse 8 and 9. Then Abishai said to David, "God has given your enemy into your hand this day. Now please let me pin him to the earth with one stroke of the spear, and I will not strike him twice." But David said to Abishai, "Do not destroy him. For who can put out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" You see, David returning good for evil. Psalm 38 verse 20. "Those who render me evil for good accuse me because I follow after good." Psalm 109 verse 5. "So they reward me evil for good and hatred for my love." You see, Saul admitted that David was the better man. 1 Samuel 24 and verse 17. 1 Samuel chapter 24 verse 17. He said to David, "You are more righteous than I, for you have repaid me good, whereas I have repaid you evil." It pained David deeply that the men that David had served with, he had served with these men in Saul's army, and they were the ones who betrayed him. Psalm 35 verses 13 to 16. "But I, when they were sick, I wore sackcloth. I afflicted myself with fasting. I prayed with head bowed on my chest. I went about as though I grieved for my friend or my brother, as one who laments his mother. I bowed down in mourning. But at my stumbling, they rejoiced and gathered. They gathered together against me. Wretches whom I did not know tore at me without ceasing. Like profane mockers at a feast, they gnash at me with their teeth." In Psalm 41 verse 9, we read, "Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me." Psalm 55 verses 12 to 14. "For it is not an enemy who taunts me, then I could bear it. It is not an adversary who deals insolently with me, then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together within God's house. We walked in the throng." David had prayed for them when they were in need. You see, David was blessed because he prayed for them. But God could not send a blessing to such evil people, because God is a just God and God will judge evil. The only return from his enemies that David got for his prayers was evil for good. So David asked God to send him good to compensate for the evil. In verses 4 to 8 of Psalm 35, David actually had prayed imprecatory prayers. But we must remember that he had first prayed for their health and for their healing. That was his first prayer for them. Saul's men tore David apart with their wicked words. Psalm 35 verse 15. "But at my stumbling they rejoiced and gathered. They gathered together against me. Wretches whom I did not know tore at me without ceasing." They made David the butt end of their vicious jokes. Psalm 35 verse 16. Like profane mockers at a feast, they gnash at me with their teeth. Then David prays in verse 17. Psalm 35 verse 17. How long, O Lord, will you look on? Rescue me from their destruction, my precious life from the lions. David knew that God would eventually reward him for his faithfulness, but he did not know when God would do so. His first praise to God in the psalm is personal. In Psalm 35 verses 9 to 10, then my soul will rejoice in the Lord, exulting in his salvation. All my bones shall say, O Lord, who is like you? Delivering the poor from him who is too strong for him, the poor and needy from him who robs him. But his second expression of praise, that is in the congregation with the saints. Psalm 35 verse 18. I will thank you in the great congregation. In the mighty throng I will praise you. It is often difficult to do good to those who have wronged us. It's not easy. But God wants us to live on this divine level of life and return good for evil. And we can do so empowered by the Holy Spirit. So how do we treat others? The next time we are wronged by someone, we must choose to treat that person with kindness. God will then use our actions to bring glory to his name. So his three requests, he says, protect me, verses 1 to 10. Then he says, reward me, verses 11 to 18. And then he says, vindicate me, verses 19 to 28. Psalm 35, verses 19 to 28. The trial was about to end and the enemy was confident of victory. Psalm 35 verse 21. They open wide their mouths against me. They say, aha, aha, our eyes have seen it. They are speaking of David's defeat. In his imagination, David saw the men of Saul winking at each other arrogantly as if to say, he's done for. Proverbs chapter 6 verses 12 to 13. A worthless person, a wicked man, goes about with crooked speech, winks with his eyes, signals with his feet, points with his finger. Psalm 35 verse 19. Let not those rejoice over me who are wrongfully my foes, and let not those wink the eye who hate me without cause. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 10. Whoever winks the eye causes trouble, and a babbling fool will come to ruin. Saul and his men would not accept an agreement or even talk about peace. But God was in control. Ultimately, Saul would die while in battle against the Philistines. God was going to eliminate Saul from the political equation of Israel. Please never think that God doesn't know what is happening or that God is not doing anything about the evil that is around you. God not only knows the minute micro details of what is happening, he is in perfect control and he will act in his time. After Saul's death, David had trouble for 7 years. After Saul died, he had trouble with Saul's son, Ish-bosheth. Abner, the commander of Saul's army, had made Ish-bosheth the king. So David had trouble for 7 years after Saul's death with Saul's son. But the Lord eventually solved that problem also. David prayed that the Lord would vindicate him. Psalm 35 verses 24, 25. Psalm 35 verses 24 and 25. Vindicate me, O Lord my God, according to your righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, aha, our heart's desire. Let them not say we have swallowed him up. Psalm 35 verse 23. Awake and rouse yourself for my vindication, for my cause, my God and my Lord. David's cause was the Lord's cause. And the Lord's reputation was at stake. Vindicate me, O Lord, my God, according to your righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Verse 24. In verse 26, David repeats his request from verse 4. Verse 4 says, Psalm 35 verse 4, let them be put to shame and dishonor who seek after my life. Let them be turned back and disappointed who devise evil against me. Again, he repeats that in verse 26. Let them be put to shame and disappointed altogether who rejoice at my calamity. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor who magnify themselves against me. David is asking that the enemy be shamefully defeated. David's desire was the Lord be magnified, that his righteousness would be exalted in his own way and in his own time, that the Lord will exalt himself, that his righteousness will be exalted. Psalm 35 verse 27. Let those who delight in my righteousness shout for joy and be glad and say evermore, great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of his servant. Psalm 35 verse 27. Let those who delight in my righteousness shout for joy and be glad and say evermore, great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of his servant. In contrast to the shame of the enemy in their defeat, we see the joyful shouts of the righteous in David's victory. That's what we see. Now, Elijah the prophet, he felt that he was fighting all alone. And sometimes when the battle is, when the battle is heavy, when the battle is intense, we think we are all alone. We are not alone. Elijah thought he was alone. 1 Kings chapter 19 verses 10 to 18. He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He said, I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. It's like a chorus he's singing over and over again in self-pity. And the Lord said to him, go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. God gave him his next assignment. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. That means that has not worshipped Baal. So Elijah thought he was the only one. I only am left. But God shows him there are 7,000 in Israel whom God has preserved, who have not worshipped Baal. Unlike Elijah, David knew that many people in Israel still supported him. David knew that. These were the people who were living quietly in the land. And we must not forget this. Psalm 35 verse 20. For they do not speak peace, but against those who are quiet in the land, they devise words of deceit. You see, who are these quiet in the land? I believe they are the remnant. The remnant who have committed their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. The believers in the Lord Jesus Christ today, they are the quiet in the land. I believe they are, why are they described as the quiet in the land? I believe they are the ones who listen to the still small voice of God in quietness, and they know the will of God, and they also know how to pray and when to act, because they are in intimacy with God. Even in the darkest days of Israel's history, there has always been a remnant. A remnant that stayed true to the Lord and prayed for his will to be done. And it's important for us, it is very important for us to be that remnant. This remnant are the ones who are key. They are the key in the transformation needed in the land. So if India is going to change, it depends on the remnant. That's why I believe this is the need of our land, of our nation right now. A remnant who will get close to the heart of God, who know God's will, they know how to pray, they know when to act. This is the remnant that makes the difference. And each of us is a lens. We are a lens that magnifies what we live for. People observe our lives and notice what is really important to us. You see, the athlete, he magnifies his sport. He magnifies his team and his winning record. The musician, he magnifies the instrument he plays. The scholar, he magnifies his discipline. As God's people, we should magnify the Lord. The sinner wants to only magnify himself. David said that in verse 26, Psalm 35 verse 26. Let them be put to shame and disappointed altogether who rejoice at my calamity. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor who magnify themselves against me. Notice that phrase. Who magnify themselves against me. Now, whenever you live to magnify yourself, you're always against someone else. This means competition. God does not want us to live in competition. Our great desire should be to magnify the Lord, not ourselves. David said in Psalm 35 verse 27, let those who delight in my righteousness shout for joy and be glad and say evermore, great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of his servant. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 verse 20, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. Now the question we must ask ourselves is this. This is the question we must ask ourselves. Are we the remnant that is actually magnifying the Lord? Are we the remnant that knows God intimately, who have learned to listen to his still small voice, who have learned to pray according to his will? Can people listen to our words and look at our life and measure our actions and say, he or she belongs to Jesus? It is important that people see the Lord, not us. The most important quality of a lens is cleanliness. When the lens of my glasses gets dirty, I see the dirt and so I need to clean them. When we are dirty, people see us and not the Lord. When we keep our lives clean, we magnify the Lord together and we can do so as his body, his church. He is worthy of all praise and he will draw people to himself as we do so. So we are on display to the world. We have an opportunity today, even through all that is happening around us, knowing fully well that God is in control and he is on the throne and we are his children and he wants us to respond in a way that will always magnify him. So we have an opportunity and we also have a responsibility. Because what we say and do is going to make an impact. It is going to impact others for Jesus. If we love the Lord, we will want to magnify the Lord. We will watch our words. We will watch our thoughts and our words and our actions. And we will live for Jesus. So we must keep the lens of our life clean so that Jesus Christ is magnified through us. David closed the psalm with a song of confidence and joy, witnessing to God's righteousness and power. Psalm 35 verse 27 and 28. Let those who delight in my righteousness shout for joy and be glad and say evermore, great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of his servant. Then my tongue shall tell of your righteousness and of your praise all the day long. Now that word translated welfare in the original Hebrew, in verse 27, that word is shalom. Very familiar word. It means peace. It means wholeness. Now, shalom means more than a mere end of hostility. It means wholeness. It means well-being in every aspect of life. including peace with God, wholeness in relationships, wholeness in health, wholeness in the family, wholeness in finances, in every aspect of life. Shalom. David experienced this shalom. And David's experience also reminds us of the Son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was hated without a cause. John 15 verse 25. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. Jesus said that. God delivered David from his enemies to give him shalom. But the Father did not spare his own son. God delivered David from his enemies to give David shalom, peace, wholeness. But the Father did not spare his own son. Why did the Father do that? So that you and I can have shalom. Romans chapter 8 verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? You see, God has made a way for us through the death of his son that we may have shalom. Jesus Christ is risen today and he gives us his spirit and we are filled with his shalom. All we need to do is be that remnant that listens to the still small voice of the Lord. Seek his face in worship and prayer and in his word. And magnify him in your life. Learn to pray as God wants you to pray. And as you magnify the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, he will draw people to himself. So make sure you have this shalom, this wholeness. And God will certainly work through you and draw people to himself. Let's bow our heads in prayer.